The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus had to pass through Samaria on his journey, and he brought him to a Samaritan town named Shechem near the land where Jacob had given his son Joseph. This was the site of Jacob's well, and Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down at the well. The hour was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone off to the town to buy provisions. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and you are asking me, a Samaritan and a woman, for a drink." Recall, the Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans. Jesus replied, "If only you recognize God's gift and who it is that is asking you for a drink, you would have been the one to ask instead, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," she challenged him, "you don't have a bucket, and this well is deep. Where do you expect to get this living water? Surely you don't pretend to be greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself with his sons and his flocks." And Jesus replied, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. When they drink, they will never be thirsty again. The water I give shall become a fountain within them, leaping up onto eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me some of this water, that I may not grow thirsty and have to keep coming here to this well to draw water." "I can see you are a prophet," she said. "Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people claim that Jerusalem is the place to worship." Jesus told her, "Believe me, woman, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand, while we understand what we worship. After all, salvation is from the Jews. Yet an hour is coming and is already here when real worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Indeed, it is just such worshipers that the Father seeks. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will tell us everything." And Jesus replied, "I who am speaking to you, I am he." Many Samaritans from that town believed in him on the strength of the woman's testimony. The result was that when these Samaritans came to him, they begged him to stay with them a while, and he stayed two full days. And through his own spoken word, many more came to believe in him. As they told the woman, "We no longer depend on your story. We have heard for ourselves, and we know that this really is the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Great story for Lent, right? Sorry, you didn't hear me? It is a great story for Lent, absolutely pure Lent all over. If you want to really have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's going to be something like this. You talk about real. That's real. That might be the finest woman in the gospel, next to Mary, our Blessed Mother. What a lady. Man, she is really something to behold. Got to look at it carefully and get rid of all of the peripheral stuff and nuances. But first of all, I want you to look at the first reading from the book of Exodus. Did you notice that? People have come out of Egypt. They're grumbling and arguing. That's a surprise, right? When we get what we need, we still grumble and argue, right? Do you work with people who grumble and argue? Wow. What are they grumbling about? Sometimes they just fail to recognize, hey, this is really good for them, right? But hey, I've got to grumble anyway, and I've got to argue because, hey, that's how I'm wired. People of Israel coming out of slavery, and they're saying to Moses, why in the world did you bring us out of slavery? I mean, really, you got to think, that is pretty idiotic. And Moses say, hey, God, you better do something about this, you know? He said, man, they're going to get me otherwise. Do something, God. Yes, still true all of these years later, right? You have grumbling and arguing in your family? Sure. It's a part of the reality, but we don't have to keep accepting it. That's the key. We've got to challenge it and say, hey, wake up. You know, what in the world are you complaining about? Do you not know and realize and appreciate what he has in mind for you and the blessings that you have? But it happens in church too, right? People say, well, man, that priest of ours, he does nothing. He works on weekends only. And then the other group said, no, our priest, man, he's working all the time, and he won't let anybody else do the work. You know, he does it all himself. When we want to be involved, he says no. And our priest and our church, hey, this church has no programs. And then this church, man, they've got too darn many programs. Oh, by the way, Father, that Christ life, you know, why do you keep talking about it? I mean, give us a break. You know, we've heard enough. We're not going to go, you know? I mean, if we're not going to go at this particular point, we don't want to be too religious, right? Hey, we want to hang at a distance. We get it, people of Israel. Hey, we were comfortable in slavery. We are too. What about freedom? And then that final line in the first reading, is God in our midst or not? How in the world would you know? How would anybody coming in here know? Is God in our midst? Tell me. Not with your words. Tell me by the way you respond. Is God in our midst? That's a big struggle for us Catholics. And we wonder if the next generation will have faith. Is God going to be in their midst? Is God going to be in their lives? Well, if you want to know, take a good look at this woman. Now, this is some valuable experience. There are a lot of people that know this experience in life. They have gone through the 12 steps and treatment and recovery programs, and they've found it to be just like this gospel experience, all 12 steps inclusive. What a powerful experience that gospel is. If you want to have life, sit down with it and don't leave it go until you have exhausted the extent of it. Here is a woman coming to the well to draw water, carrying her buckets. I was wondering during the week if her live-in boyfriend was the one coming and drawing the water, what would the conversation have been like? Would it have ended right after the first invitation? Possibly. You know why? Because us men, we like a head trip. Here's a woman who knew something about heart. Man, that woman is something. Delightful woman. The man who was living with her, if he had come along to draw the water, and we would say, well, that would be reasonable enough. He carried the buckets. But that wasn't what happened. Jesus saw all of this coming about. It really is quite something. I'd like for you to think of it in terms of a kind of a tennis match, you know? You ever play tennis? So, Jesus, yeah, Vicky, you know. Jesus just hops the ball and, hey, says, give me a drink of water. A little warm up. And she said, you're a Jew? Talking to me, a Samaritan woman? That was a no-no. That doesn't happen. He said, hey, don't worry about that. He said, go ahead, give me a little drink of water because I'd really like to talk to you about water. The very source of life. Not just baptism, but life. And she plays it back, hey, you don't have a bucket, you know? Well, the water I want to talk to you about, you don't carry in a bucket. It's an interior job. Oh, okay. And then he said, the lob. You know, and she's going back and back. Man, do I hit it in the air or do I let it bounce? How in the world could I let that bounce? I'm going to give you some water that you never even dreamt of. She said, man, could it be possible? I'm going to give you some water to drink so that you will not be thirsty again. And she says, man, that's a bit high now. You got to be kidding. He said, no, I'll give you water to drink that you never even imagined. So you don't have to keep going through the same old, same old. Because I am the giver of water and life. And she said, how could you possibly give that kind of water? Pew. I mean, are you bigger, better than Jacob who gave us this well and who drank this water himself? And man, he was a great holy man. You something else? And he said, I'll give you that water. I'll give you what your heart needs. Trust me. I won't give you what you want, but I will give you what you need. Big difference. She's beginning to get into it. And then immediately he does the number. You know, he moves up close to the net. Bring me your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. Good. Now we're really going places. Even though you've had a husband, and you've had a few of them, you've had five of them, and now you're living with another, you're looking for love, perhaps, and have been in all the wrong places, perhaps. But you've been open, and you've been open to relationships, and there's a lot going on in your little life. Why are you coming out here at the hottest hour of the day? In the original text, it says the sixth hour of the Jewish day. And this, it says 12 noon, high noon. Why are you coming to draw water in high noon? The hottest period in the sun. You know why I'm coming? You know why I'm coming. Because of the way these people feel about me in my own town, in my own church, in my own community. They've judged me pretty harshly. They call me names. They talk about me and my person and my personhood. And so I come at high noon because everybody else is taking their CS. They close the shutters and they go inside from the heat of the day. And here I am. It's the only real opportunity I have to come to the well. To avoid the peering and glaring eyes and the judgment. That's why I'm coming at noon. What are you doing here? John has a great insight. Jesus, tired from his journey, came to the well and he sat down. It's good news to know that my master was tired on the journey. You ever get tired on your journey? Man, good, good. Good to know he got tired in his journey too, but he was not too tired to be responsive and attentive to her. And so they enter into this little match. And she matches him step for step because of her sheer beauty. You talk about openness. Now, that's being open to what God wants to bring about in one's life. What a gift she had. Could I sit there and be that open with him? And that becomes an integral reality in the parable. And not choose to revert back to my head, but allow this to be a heart experience. For us as men, that's going to be intensely challenging. Sit there and allow him to really speak to me in heart language. I'd rather go here. He didn't let her go there. But she had that gift because the thirst that she had, he had already created the faith to complement that thirst. What she wanted was loving. What she really wanted was a deep sense of wanting to be valued and loved and appreciated for who she was, and here he does it. He takes care of it. It's sort of like he holds a mirror up and he said, now, you want to see yourself? And I love you. Couldn't love you more. Forget about all these other people and what they have said about you, and forget about their attitudes and their dispositions, because that really does not count. There's only one thing that really counts. The very thing you are seeking, to be loved 100% for who I am, with all of my flaws and faults and warts and everything else, to be loved unconditionally. It was a great moment of empowerment. The first step of empowerment is to accept who I am as I am. No masks, no images, nothing else. To really be empowered, I accept myself for who I am. And then I can move about presenting myself to others and in relationship. He loved her through all of that. Notice her progression of faith. How the Lord leads us in faith. She said, you have no bucket, sir, in verse 11. And then moving to verse 21, I guess, she says, I see you're a prophet. You're a prophet because you know all about me. You know everything I have done. You're a prophet. And then she moves from prophet to, you know, the Jews say the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will tell us everything. You know him? I who am speaking to you. That's who I am. Man leaves her bucket and takes off to that town. Now, here's the woman coming back into town after her few miles of... Man, don't you know she was flying there. Hey, y'all, wake up! Really? Hey, open up. Let me tell you something that just happened to me. And people roll back the shutters and they look out, and some people say, possibly, oh, you know, it's that one again, you know? You know the one? What's she smoking? Man. Or is she on medication, you know? Hey, we can be so dismissive, you know? What's wrong with her? What's wrong with her? Man, she just encountered somebody who told her everything that she ever did in her life, and he just absolutely loved her head over heels. That's what happened to her. People are looking out their shutters and say, some are saying, I'll go away, man, I want to rest. You know, it's like church, right? Hey, leave me alone. I don't want to do it. I don't want to get too much into all of that holiness, right? I'm not asking for that. I just want to be able to sit and do what I want to do. But she wouldn't have any of it. She said, hey, y'all, this might be the Messiah. You want to come and check it out with me? And they start coming out in droves and they look and they say, wow, that is something. The disciples had come back. They were in town shopping. Good plan. Because they would not have been able to handle the reality to begin with. They come back and nobody dares to ask them, why are you talking to this woman? Don't you know we don't talk to Samaritans? And then to add to it, you don't talk to a woman. Man, we got a mission. And so all of this is happening and the disciples are dumbstruck. Because the Christ is doing what he came to bring about in the most powerful, extraordinary way. Here's a woman, beautiful heart, going through a progression of faith, being invited by him, and the only thing that's on her mind is to be loved 100% totally for who she is. And there's only one that can do it. That's him. And he manifested himself to her. Wow, was she a lucky lady? She was a blessed lady in coming there. What a beautiful lady going away from there. All fear, all terror, all anxiety gone. Hey, y'all, let me show you someone who knows everything about me and loves me. Isn't that our truth?